Please open your Bibles to a little book in the Old Testament toward the back, Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2. Habakkuk is in a section of the Bible called the Minor Prophets. They are called minor because of their short length, not because of the lightness of their message. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2. I really love the beginning of a new year. I've always had kind of an affirmation for that because it just gives a natural opportunity for a brand new start. And so you can take all of the stuff of the past year, the good stuff, the bad stuff, the hurtful stuff, and you can kind of put it in a box, tie it up, lay it at the feet of Jesus Christ, and look forward with great anticipation to the wonderful adventure that God has laid out in store for a brand new year. And so I always just absolutely love this time of the year because I don't know if you're like me, but man, I want to tell you, I can always use a new start. And so the new year provides that. Let's talk a couple of moments as we begin about some perspectives. The last year, 2019, has probably fitting into one of three categories for you. It may have been that that's like the worst year of your life. There may have been some challenges in there. There may have been some disappointments in there. There may have been some pain. Just nothing went right. Stuff went wrong. And it was a drag. It was a burden. Some stuff hard to get through. And I guarantee you that year's over, you are happy to see it in your rearview mirror. I would tell you I've personally had a few years like that in my life. And I was so glad and relieved that that year was over because there's hope for something better in the future. Some of you have had a year like that. Some of you have had a year that's just kind of been another year. There were some good things in the year. There were some difficult things in the year, but it was basically going through life, and you really had no highlights, no lights, and so it was just another year, it's gone, and it's fine, everything is good. For others of you, you hated to see last year end because it was an incredible year. It was one of the best years of your life. And you saw God do great things, you experienced stuff worked, and it was an awesome, incredible year for you. And so you're probably in one of those three categories. And so what we want to do today, whether it was a horrible year or just another year or the greatest year of your life, it's now gone. You will never put 2019 on anything again unless you do it by mistake. And so we now look at a new year, a new fresh start and opportunity. And so it's a great perspective to have on life. Let's talk for a moment about a church perspective. When we think about last year, man, all I can say is wow, right? I mean, we moved into this building and it's been more than we could have ever hoped for. Been absolutely incredible. We have seen God do some marvelous things that just outstanding. And I do want to pause for just a moment and say thank you, because I don't know if you remember back before we moved in, I preached a message from when the Israelites were entering in the land of promise. Joshua said, keep your eyes on the ark and follow it because we've never been this way before. You remember that, some of you? And I said, we're going where we've never been before. And so let's keep our eyes on the Lord, and we don't really know what we're doing. And so it's been a little bit of trial and error. Some stuff's worked really good. Some stuff maybe could have been better. But, man, you have been gracious. You have been awesome. You have been good. And I just tell you, we're looking into 2020, and I will still tell you, we've never been this way before. So keep being patient. There'll be some misses and hits, but it's going to be really good. But thank you. You have been really awesome as we have stepped into this new building. Everything has kind of come up. Attendance, offerings, baptisms, new members. it's just everything has come up, just like we trusted God would make that happen. The technology upgrade is really awesome. If you've been into an event over in our old worship center, we call the Forum, and you checked out that technology, and then you thought, dude, how did we survive on that? Right? After we got used to all this nice stuff. So it's really been an incredible year for us that as a church. It's been phenomenal. And so we thank God for it. So we're looking forward then today. And for you personally, I just pray from beginning to end that 2020 is going to be the best year of your life. I hope that for you this year, you see some challenges overcome. I hope that you see some victories. I just pray that when we get to this point next year, you'll be able to say 2020 was a phenomenal year. Whether that happens or not, let me tell you, just as Jesus Christ has walked with you through last year, He's going to walk with you through whatever is out here in 2020. And so I pray it will be awesome for you. Now, for our church, if you'll recall, I preached a series through the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was rebuilding a wall around Jerusalem, and the issue was not really about the wall. The issue was about what God was going to do as they built the wall. So the wall was symbolic of a recommitment to God and a return to God. And the wall was the catalyst that brought spiritual awakening. And I told you that what we're doing with this building was not the building for the building itself. It was for what God would be doing through the building. And so as we look at 2020, we begin to look forward. The message today is called Ignite 2020. And this is one of the greater things for which we built the building. And so it's the first steps in this new year of us seeking to move forward for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to lay out for you today what we're aiming for in regard to greater things. Kind of a state of the church address a little bit, but not totally. So in Habakkuk 3 verse 2, listen to what the prophet is praying. He says, O Lord, I have heard the report of you, and your work, O Lord, do I fear. In the midst of the years, revive it. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. Now, this prophet was ministering to a nation in a mess. They had rejected God. They were in rebellion. And there was political strife. There were threats to them militarily. And they were in a mess. And the prophet says, God, we have heard about the great works you've done in the past. We've heard about how you delivered our people from slavery. We've heard about parting the Red Sea. We've heard about the manna in the wilderness. We've heard about how you led in conquering the nations, how you gave us this land. We've heard about all the great things you've done in the past. And then he says, God, even though we don't deserve anything, can you do something in our day? We're in a mess. We need you to step in and do something in our day. It's not good enough for us to hear what you did. Lord, we need you to do something now. So when we think about that verse, our nation today is in a mess. The political divide in our country is astounding. It's as if it's two different realities. And there is no common ground. It's frightening, to tell you the truth. You think about the moral freefall that we're in as a culture. And the list just goes on. We're in a mess. But even though we're in a mess, let me ask you, have you heard that God's done some great things in the past in our country? Have you heard about that? Have you heard about some of them? We could talk about spiritual awakenings that swept our nation. We could talk about the founding of our nation. We could talk about incredible things that God has done in the past. But I would like for us to say, God, we've heard about what you did, but God, do you have something that you can do now? Because we're in a mess. Now, not only are we in a mess nationally, but we're in a mess locally. And it's one thing for us to say, well, we're in a mess, and have the opportunity to be a solution. And if you have an opportunity to have a solution, but you don't become part of the solution, then you're actually part of a mess. And so this Ignite 2020 is us saying to God, we've heard what you've done in the past, but God, we would really love for you to do something in the present. Now, I will tell you right up front that none of us can make God do anything. Did you know that? You cannot force God to do anything, but we can set the table. And I believe if we set the table, the Lord will show up. And so Ignite 2020 is about us setting the table to ignite, light the fire, and to see if God has something in our day. One of the greater things for which we built this facility. Before we get to that, though, I'd like to talk a little bit just about our church, some general information that you might find helpful and prayerful. And I want to start by talking to you for a moment about our staff. We had a lot of staff turnover in 2019, which is quite unusual for our church. You know that Charles Treadway retired after 25 years as our executive pastor. He'd been with me 30, and that caused a little consternation. But I'm just telling you, I'm very thankful that God just made a very smooth transition and brought Ed Hancock in here. I'm kind of more grateful for Dina, but we'll take Ed with her. A beautiful transition, doing an incredible job. We thank him for it. We currently are in search mode for a pastor of discipleship. That slot has been empty for a couple of years. We did that purposefully to kind of save some cash flow till we could get into the new building a little bit and find out how things were going to fall. We got a couple of guys on interview queue that we're going to be talking with. And so pray for that. We're looking for a minister to students. We have gone through several resumes. We haven't come up on God's choice at this point, but we're looking and we're praying, and so you need to pray about that. Pastor of worship. We've been in an interim time for several months, and I'll just tell you, don't you thank God for the way that Mark and the team has led during this interim time? It's been an awesome thing. In fact, if you do think that, they're back there watching. You can give them a hand clap. I really don't know what those music people do while I'm preaching. So they're back there right now going, huh? But an awesome job. Now, what we did, our staff kind of covered. Some of them had to take on extra responsibilities. Some of them had to do stuff that was not in their purview. And they've done it. They've done it extremely well. And they did it without complaining. Because had they complained, yeah, had they complained, we would have had another vacancy. But I'm telling you, they did awesome. Kristen Morgan established and grew our special needs ministry. Since she's homeschooling about 20 kids, 20 of her kids, really I think it's 7 or 10, I don't know how many, I've lost count. She's resigned, and so we thank God for Kristen Morgan. Is Kristen here today? Kristen, are you here? So she quit and then quit coming. Where is she here? She's at the top. She's up at the top. Thank you, Krista. And so I'm just telling you, pray for these staff openings, but really encourage the staff. They've done a great job during this time, and I'm looking forward to where we get fully staffed. This is going to be really, really awesome. Let's talk for a moment about finances. We haven't completely closed out the year, but we have just had the highest budget offerings in the history of our church. We raised our budget. Amen. That's a hand clap. We raised the budget like 12%, which is a gigantic increase from the year before. And we were just a tad under hitting that budget number. So it was a phenomenal year. At the same time, the capital campaign, helping pay the building off, is moving right on schedule as the commitments that you have made, and we're hitting our targets, and it's really a financial miracle that we are seeing God do here in our church. And in addition to that, we have given over $600,000 to missions. And so this isn't all on ourselves. Now, here's what I'm asking God to allow us to do in the future years. I'm praying that the time will come when we're giving over $1 million a year to missions. And as God allows us to grow and bless, I believe that we're actually going to get there. So it's really been a phenomenal year. We give God the praise, blessing individuals. He's blessing families who are faithfully giving. And I'll just tell you, if you're not on board financially with what God is doing here, I encourage you to do that, because He will bless you. And He will use what you give for eternal purposes, and that is incredible. Our baptism numbers are up. We're getting new members every week. Everything is up. Everything is incredible. So it's just an awesome time to be a part of our church. So having said that, let's talk about Ignite 2020. Again, we're awfully good sometimes at pointing out everything that's bad about our culture. And our aim is to not just point out what's bad, but to be a leader in providing solutions. And what could be a better solution in a bad situation than to bring Jesus Christ into that situation? And that is what Ignite 2020 is all about. And let me just share with you. Maybe you've had a really rough year and you decided, hey, the new year's coming, I'm going to give church a shot. I would just tell you, you've done a great thing, but you need to take that extra step, because if you really want to see stuff improve, you need to bring Jesus Christ into the equation. Church is a part of that, but the church really can't help you the way Jesus Christ can help you. And so that is what Ignite 2020 is really all about. So it's our first huge event of the year. So I want to give you the dates. You ready? I want you to put this in your phone. February 9 through 12. That is a Sunday morning through Wednesday evening. Reserve the date. Nothing else matters that week. That's going to be the priority. We have invited a guest preacher to come in. He was here. Ronnie Hill was here the 1st of October. You may remember him. This is his vocation. It's his calling. He is an evangelist. And so it's going to be the greatest evangelistic event that we have had in years. Now, let me pause for just a moment. We haven't done anything like this in a long time, because frankly, the last few times we did it, it flopped, just to tell you the truth. But we have had some meetings like this in the history of our church, where we have seen 150, a couple of times, over 200 people saved. Do you know that? How many of you were here back years ago when we saw that happen? A smattering of you were here then. It was unbelievable. And so the same thing could happen here, but we're going to have to set the table, and that's what I'm appealing to you for us to be about. We hope for good weather. That is February. So we ask for that. Let me tell you, there's three pieces for each one of us to be involved in. Ready? Just three. The first piece is to pray. That's the key issue for the whole thing, is praying. We're going to talk to you about how we're going to be doing that in just a moment. So pray for the meeting. Praying for the preacher, praying for the schools, praying for everything, just praying. Secondly, participate. And when I say participate, I mean it may be that you actually get involved in some of the work. You maybe get some training done, but you are going to make a commitment to be present. It makes a huge difference in the dynamic of a meeting when there's more filled chairs than empty chairs. And I just want to tell you, especially if you have families, Sunday morning through Wednesday night is a beat down. You got me? It's a beat down. But what you see God do is well worth the beat down. So it's going to be the best exhausting week you've ever had. So make a commitment to pray, make to participate. And third, make a commitment to invite. Invite friends, invite family. It's a good idea to invite your enemy. Wouldn't it be great if your enemy got saved? And just invite people. We're going to give you some tools that you can invite some people. And so that's the three commitments that I'm asking you to make. One is to pray. Two is to participate. And three, invite. And there's going to be a lot of other people doing the same things as we lay out our preparation for the meeting. So let's talk about some preparation. We're going to be bathing this in prayer. In fact, from January the 10th to February the 9th, 30 days of prayer and fasting. Now, we're not asking you to fast for 30 days, though most of us could use it. We're asking you to get one day that you fast and a time slot where you pray. There is a kiosk out in the mall where you can stop by before you leave and you can get your assignment. And so for these 30 days, we're praying. And we have a lot of things we want to be praying for, and I'll talk about that in just a moment. And so we want to have this 30 days. On January the 22nd, which is a Wednesday evening, all of our programming that night is going to be geared toward praying for this meeting, for Ignite 2020. So we're bathing it in prayer. That is where the power is, and we're praying. Bible study on that day, February the 9th, is going to be high attendance day. We're pulling out all the stops. We're going to try to make a personal contact to every person on our Bible study rolls. And in case you're wondering, we have about 40% attendance in relation to the number enrolled every Sunday. So, man, if we just hit that, it'd be phenomenal. We're going to be making an intense effort to contact all prospects who are not members of our church and gather for the highest attendance day in the history of our church on February the 9th. We're going to need you to get involved to help us get that done. There's going to be some meetings with our Bible study leadership, and they're going to be getting some suggestions on how to mobilize your group, and we're going to make the effort. We're going to go after it to make that Sunday morning high attendance day. And then that evening, it's going to be a really awesome time as we have a competition. We'll see who can get the most of their Bible study people back to church on Sunday night. And whoever wins, if the budget allows it, will give you a prize. How about it? Maybe a sack of M&Ms or something. I don't know, but we'll get you a prize. And the youth student will have something that night as well, as February the 9th kicks it off. Now, on Monday, Ronnie Hill is going to be in a lot of the schools, speaking in the assemblies on bullying, and then we'll be inviting kids to come to church that night. At 6 o'clock, there'll be a giant pizza thing, and then the worship is at 7. Because it's a thing for students at 6 does not mean adults don't come that night. Remember, your commitment is to come as often as you can. And then on Tuesday, he is in a bunch of more schools. And then Tuesday, there's a meal for children and their parents. And then the worship starts at 7. And then on Wednesday evening is steak. Yes, I said steak. You can buy tickets for $3. It's like a $12 value. And we want you to buy tickets for you and tickets for people that you're going to invite. To give the ticket to say, hey, here is a free steak dinner. And they're going to come and eat with you and then come into worship at 7. So you want to be praying, you want to be buying steak dinner tickets, getting ready to give them away to people. You remember our emphasis, who's your one? This is a great chance to go after your one. Or maybe make it your two or your three or four. Now, here's the deal. You can bring in a guy whose giftedness is drawing the net for people to come to know Christ. But if you don't get people who need to know Christ in the building, then it really is meaningless, don't you think? And so, what could be more of a solution to the mess that we're in than introduce hundreds of people to Jesus Christ. And so you may be thinking, as I've gone through that week and that schedule, preacher, that sounds like a lot of work. And you know what? That's a lot of work. But isn't that part of the reason we're here? And so let's roll up our sleeves and say, God, we've heard about all that you've done in the past. Do you have something that you can do in our day? Knowing we can't force his hand, but we can set the table. So what I'm asking you to do today, one of the things, I'm asking you to make the commitment. I'm in on this Ignite 2020. Now, you may think, if you've been in Baptist life for a while, Brother Jim, that sounds an awful lot like a revival. Just don't use that term, okay? Because people will run from that. Revival, I ain't going there, man. But Ignite, spiritual Ignite, man, that's good. But it's going to take some work. Man, it can be a high water mark, not only in your life, but in the lives of hundreds of people. So I'm asking you to make that commitment to pray, participate, and to invite. And who knows what God will do in our midst. So I'm going to wrap this up. Here's some things that are in front of us right now. I would encourage you and challenge you this brand new year, make a fresh commitment of your own life, of your family, of your career, of your recreation. Just commit that to Jesus Christ. Make that commitment today. If you've never made a first-time commitment to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Master, you maybe came to church today thinking, I need a new start. Man, that is the ultimate new start. And if that's you today, when we have our invitation in a moment, there'll be some staff here who'll greet you. You need to come to them and just tell them, I would like to give my life to Jesus Christ today. If you're visiting with us today, man, it's great to have you. First Sunday of the year. I would encourage you, I would invite you, become a member of our church family today. You'll have a whole year to enjoy the benefit. And get on board upon what God is doing in our area, in our world today. Make your way to one of our staff guys here and share with them, I'd like to move my membership to this church. Do that today. That would be awesome, great way to kick off this new year. But then we're going to do something different today. Mark's going to just kind of come up here and play a little bit, instrumental. We'll have our counselors here to greet those of you who would come. But then I'd like for everybody to work with me for a moment, and I don't want to make anyone uncomfortable. That's not the point. But I'd like for you just to group up and the people around you. And Jesus said, my house will be called a house of prayer. And so let's make it a house of prayer for these next moments. And when you get in that little group, it may be that you have a personal request, a burden. I would encourage you to feel free to share that, and somebody can pray for you today. But our primary focal point is going to be for Ignite 2020. I'd like you in your group just to pray for Ronnie Hill, to pray for when he goes into the schools, to pray for the services, to pray that this Ignite 2020 would be an incredible spiritual thing that could change really even the dynamics and fabric of our entire community. It could happen. It could happen. And so we want to just begin this, kick this off, praying for God to bring a renewal, igniting the fire, and seeing spiritual awakening come to our church, to our community. So is everybody clear on what we're doing at this point? Everybody understand that, or I need to go through it again? So, in just a moment, we'll start the music. Staff will be here. If you'd like to give your life to Christ, to join our church, or maybe you want somebody just to pray with you right here, please come forward. Everybody's going to be getting into little groups. If you want to come and kneel on the steps and pray on your own, that's fine. And then everybody's going to get into a group. Don't anybody leave. This is really a crucial moment. And so we're just going to pray. So I'm going to pray. And then Mark's going to start with the music. And then our staff will be here to greet you. Feel free to come forward, bring those decisions, and then just group up and let's begin to pray. Now, I don't want you to feel like you have to pray out loud, okay? So put that off the table. Somebody, several in your group will, and that's what we want them to do. But don't feel like we've put you on the spot, because that's not the goal. All right, let's pray. Father, we are grateful for all that you've done, not only in our church, but in our own individual lives. And so, Father, thank you for allowing us to get these facilities together. We pray that, Lord, it would be a catalyst to greater things. And the first thing on the table is Ignite 2020. Bless it. Lord, I pray you'd bless as we pray for it today. I pray, Lord, there'd be individuals who would be making decisions today. And that it would all be for your praise and for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name.